Game day. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Yeah.
There are 14 games on tap tonight. We are hacking them in, including Sammy's Toronto Maple Leafs against the Calgary Flames. I'm Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jen Rolnick. Today, with you for the next 2 hours, we are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Toronto Maple Leafs looking to go back-to-back in the province of Alberta. Not the state of Alberta. The province.
Not yet.
Of Alberta.
Boo.
As they take
boo.
On.
Boo.
We want to start the show getting booed.
No, we're not getting booed.
No, no.
Whole other country.
Boo this man.
One anthem night tonight, boys. Should be in the clear.
I wonder if they'll stop having the U.S. anthem in Canada for a while or vice versa. Do
no.
we need the other country's anthem?
No.
Do we need it?
I don't know.
No, we got a 30-day window to decide that. Don't be in such a rush.
That's right. There's still good decisions to be made.
But it's safe, at least for tonight, as you said. Toronto and Calgary. Joseph Woll scheduled to start, with Stolarz being a possibility for Thursday against Seattle before everything shuts down Saturday night for the Leafs against Vancouver. So you're okay with going right back at it for Joseph Woll?
Gosh, it's a lot. You know, it's not like the Flames are a high-flying offense. Maybe just an extra couple of days for Stolarz. Don't want to rush him back. Seattle doesn't score either, so I guess you can't really go wrong. All I have to say is, did you guys watch any of that game last night? Boy, am I excited for 14 games tonight. That was tough.
Ottawa and Nashville?
It was just tough that was the only option.
Mm.
You can't flick back and forth when it's on.
I caught the highlights.
Yeah.
I watched it.
Ottawa, 2 points behind the lead.
Yeah, things have gotten really interesting in the Eastern Conference.
As I look towards Sam.
We will. Well, we'll get into that. But
I see, like, Sens fans are so excited about this regular season success. Finally, Red Wings fans are so excited about the regular season success. And to them, I say, great, good for you. Like,
welcome aboard,
Leaf fans. Like, we do this a lot. We get excited about regular seasons, and then you know what happens. So,
I
like,
don't think they care. They
good.
Just, they need.
They're in the honeymoon phase of regular season success.
Totally.
Let them have the regular season success. Yeah. That's great
they
for them.
They just need to get in.
Yeah,
and they can compare themselves to the Leafs, who like haven't looked great in like 60% of their games this year. It's like, let them just be excited. They're right behind the Leafs. Good for them. Big brother that is letting them back into it. Just give me a chance.
Now they got, they have a tough schedule too, because they got Tampa Bay. Not that we're going to derail our Leaf
Ottawa
hour
does.
Here, but yeah, Ottawa's got.
Tonight?
They're in Florida now. Two against Tampa and one against Florida.
Oh, wow. I'm sure they'll just keep on winning all the way to the top. I'm sure the ride will never end.
Okay. More importantly, control what you can control if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs. Don't worry about Ottawa. Don't worry about anything else other than the fact that you got to beat the Calgary Flames tonight. And the question
just
is, are you going to
do it
with or without Mitch Marner? You going to do it with or without Oliver Ekman-Larsson?
Two
20-minute guys.
Yeah. Well, Mitch is more than a 20-minute guy. He is...
At least 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I just mean, you know, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, with all due respect to OEL, his 20 are not quite as valuable as Mitch's 20. That's a pretty big 20 you're taking out.
I think that as soon as he stepped out, it put so much tax on that blue line. It had a big part to do with Edmonton Oilers Saturday night coming on so strong.
I think so.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. I thought that it was kind of a wake-up call for... I think we've been back and forth on Oliver Ekman-Larsson's contributions to the Leafs this year. Hot start, bit of a dip, kind of trending back in the right direction. And I think after he went out, it kind of showed the importance of him. I mean, you're playing with five guys, I understand. You're trying to patch it over. But
whatever
he
you
is
think
solid.
Of his play, Sam, it's like whatever replaces him is so unsolid, he becomes very essential.
And that's the way I look at Morgan Rielly, too, is we can sit there and say, oh, my God, he's having a horrible season. But take him out of the lineup and try to plug in those 20 minutes plus, and you're in big trouble.
Yeah, you're not going to like how Marshall Rafai does it when, you know, Morgan's not in. So That is important.
So I gather we're not going to get a whole lot out of Craig Berube. So do we still attempt to get a clip out of him on Mitch Marner?
We got a few.
If we were worried about the vagueness with Matthews, get ready for vague, buddy. Get ready to learn vague.
World record vague.
Clip one, Mitch Marner update, please, Derek.
For Mitch.
Game time decision.
What happened?
I don't know. Something happened in the game, I guess. Just not feeling right in certain areas, so we're trying to work on it. Trying to get him ready.
He's not ready. Like, he does so many things for you guys. Like, how difficult will it be to fill that void?
Well, I mean, it's like anybody that goes out. It's hard to fill them voids. It's just guys, you know, getting a different opportunity for some guys and people stepping up and doing the job. We've done it all year, and it just fits. He can't go, then we've got to continue to do it.
Pretty much said that.
Can we just get the start of that again, please, Derek?
For Mitch.
Game time decision.
What happened?
Oh. I don't know. Something happened in the game, I guess.
Okay, good.
Something threw his keys out.
Certain areas, so we're trying to work on it. Trying to get him.
See, so he gave it away. Something happened, certain areas. So he tweaked something.
He's got some general soreness in some general area.
And he's this close to either coming back or giving it a night off.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, you didn't answer me. You just...
I'll go ahead and say, if Mitch Marner has soreness and he's this close, take the night off.
Agreed.
Take the night off. There's 82 of them. The Leafs are going to be somewhere around the top at the very end.
Let's...
You know, you got a few guys that you can't mess with. Mitch is one of them for the Leafs. Right?
Yes. And I don't know who, Willie. I don't know if there's anyone else really.
Oh, it's Austin. Outside it's Willie.
Well, Austin, you still found a way to win without him this year, you know, in certain stretches. I'm not saying that you want that in April, but I'm just saying that
if
when
Austin
you factor.
Is close, rest him.
When you factor
we
in.
We said that multiple times when he was hurt.
Like, the shorthanded situation, the defensive zone faceoffs, when you factor in everything, it's like this is the one guy that is truly irreplaceable right now outside of your goalie.
And we said, remember the game Matthews was a game-time decision against Buffalo? And all of us said, why are you doing this? Why is this a game-time decision against Buffalo? And he goes out there and he gets cross-checked in the back and what did he miss? Five or six games after that?
Right.
It's a cautionary tale here for one of your, like you said, outside of goalies, maybe your most important guy. It's really just be careful pushing him into these games 3 days before you're about to go on a big break. He's not, I understand, he's going to the Four Nations faceoff. Mm-hmm. But just be careful with these games is all I would say.
So I've been calling it for a while now, Max Domi. With Austin.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an opportunity here and Mitch doesn't play, we'll get really a very good look at what also led to the thought of re-signing Max to a very lengthy contract was that he could, in a pinch, go up there and have success with Austin Matthews. Well, okay, let's see it.
Yeah, we don't have this in the quote from Berube, but he was talking about Domi, and here's what he says about him. I like Max's game right now. I think he is more aggressive, shooting more, attacking better, skating better. He's got to continue to do that. He's got ability. He's got a real good shot. He's a very good playmaker. He's a strong skater. He's fast, and he needs to use the speed. Real quote from Berube on Domi.
Maybe let's play the Max Domi moving up, clip three. Maybe that's what he said today. I don't think that's what he said. Let's hear it.
Yeah, well, Max is, you know, going to back to last year, played a handful of games or more with Austin, and, you know, they had some pretty good chemistry going. So he's a passer. We need a passer on that line with Matthews and Nyes. So he's a guy that can make plays. And like I said, it's all about Max. It's all about his skating. He needs to move. He needs to attack and have that mindset for me.
Okay, so that was from today. Maybe that was from yesterday in practice that he
clearly
said
that. He didn't mention anything about shooting, right? Passing.
Yeah.
He's already leading him towards get the puck to 34.
But he's
he's a passer, right? Yeah. He said he needed a passer. They put a passer on the line, yeah. You know, I don't think it's any grand conspiracy that they're like, get it to the guy who shoots it in.
Yeah.
You know, that's good coaching.
But also, you know, it's kind of mixed messaging that they're giving him. You know, like, he's like, I need him to shoot more. I need him to shoot
more. Not tonight.
And then it's like, tonight,
yep.
You pass.
We need to pass. You need to pass.
You're the passer.
I mean, it's really the only way to get it out of him. Max is, even go back to the last 5 years, his pace is not that of a 30-goal scorer, 25-goal scorer, even a 20-goal scorer.
Yeah.
You know, he's at 15, 10 to 15, maybe not 10. Like, he needs to set guys up. He needs primary assists, so he's got the opportunity with some finishers here to rack some of those up.
You also like the clip on Morgan going back in if Mitch isn't on the power play?
I thought it was funny. We'll play it. I wouldn't exactly say it's the most glowing endorsement. Let's just play it.
Well, it's just he's been there, right? Yeah. For I don't know how long here, but he's played in that situation. And he's to me, he's the guy that goes there. That's really what it boils down to right now with Mitch's out.
It's like when you're that's when what you're I a know parent, you're yelling at your kid and they ask you why and you just say because.
Yeah, because I said so.
That's why.
I have good, why no is Morgan good reason.
There? That's
end of story. Doing. That's it. That's what it boils down to.
That's just the choice we've made. And don't need to explain.
I looked at contracts.
Mm-hmm.
It is $7.5 million.
That's
wins.
Where he goes.
Yeah. Wins.
Really not that complicated. So whatever. I think it's good for Morgan to get a chance back there.
Well, they've been putting literally anyone else they could on that instead of him. Like when there was Marner, they put McMahon, they put Pacioretty, they put all these different guys. And I guess none of them are top of the point players. But I think, you know, Marner goes out, you got to throw this guy a bone.
Yeah.
It's been taking a bit of a beating. Let him get a couple
of
cookies.
Shoot the puck where, you know, he gets into this mode where he won't shoot it and he's just looking to the flanks. I would expect him to shoot the puck a little bit.
Did you watch last night Jake Sanderson's pull the puck off the wall, take it to the middle, and completely, I think it was Nocheck, he just completely faked out of blocking a shot and then drifted one to the net for a goal. Like, the footwork off Jake Sanderson on that goal was spectacular. It was Quinn Hughes-like. It was Cale Makar-like.
You want Morgan?
No, I'm not. I'm just reiterating, Morgan can't do that.
No.
He cannot physically do that. Yeah. But, man, what a gift to have a guy that can do that.
Yeah.
And Mitch is not a defenseman, but he is the closest thing they have to the footwork that I'm speaking of taking a puck off a wall and getting it to the middle of the ice. That's going to be missed.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Kip, because, like, as you look around the league, guys like that, like, they almost didn't exist for a long time. Very few people could do what you're talking about. And now you look around the league and you go, Hughes can, Makar can, Werenski does it pretty well,
Hutton.
Theodore can, Hutton does it, or Hudson.
Hudson,
does it.
Sorry.
Adam Fox does it, Evan Bouchard can, Owen Powell, you know, Yossi. All of a sudden it's like, 20 teams have a guy who can do that.
You're right.
That's why they paid $4 million last year for the ghost of John Klingberg.
And
because they thought he might be able to do it.
Even Eric Gustafson was here for a minute being like, can you do it?
Yeah.
Right. And that's where it's like some of these guys are like 5'10 and 160 pounds, but they can shimmy.
They skitter.
With the best of them. And one guy, you just need one guy back there, preferably an offensive defenseman. That can bring it, but right now that's missing.
So do you think that they need that?
Every team would love that.
But like, do they more need than it? Another defender defender?
They look like right now they need one bad.
It's funny watching the Isles scoop up Tony D, who goes in and shoots one in overtime the other night. That Boqvist, you know, he's a bit of a puck mover. Same with the other guy they got. From St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
What the heck was his name?
I forget his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
He offensive
was a Hobie Baker winning 5'10" D-man. You know, like, these guys are, you can get them. Those guys are flawed D. I don't want them necessarily.
The only thing you can do is keep Mitch
Brunovich.
Back there.
Sorry.
Yeah. But the only thing you can do right now, if you're not going to find one at the trade deadline, it's they don't exist or they're too expensive. But Mitch has to be that guy on the power play, mm-hmm. bringing the puck to the middle of the ice up high.
Yeah.
No question.
And the biggest thing is that his deception can create lanes. He can fake and move and slip and do all those things that these D we're talking about can do. So he probably ends up staying there.
Yeah.
In about 20 minutes, we'll welcome in Eric Francis, senior columnist, analyst with Sportsnet based out of Calgary. We'll talk about the Flames, but this will be a tough challenge for the Leafs again. Just like Edmonton, I don't know if they can count on a great start and a 3-0 lead, but mm-hmm. this is a team that won't go away. Let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on the Calgary Flames. Clip 4, Derek.
Yeah, they're a hard-working team. They've been for a little while, years. They're going to compete and they're going to work. Added two new players to their roster. You know, they look to me like they're playing pretty good. I saw Frost and Farabee in Philly for a while, so they're good players. You know, we're going to get challenged. I'll tell you that it's not going to be easy, and we don't expect it. We're going to have to earn everything, and their goaltending has been lights out.
I think the most notable Calgary Flames trait is forecheck, the work ethic on the forecheck. They turn pucks over and they keep coming and they send waves. I've had to cover them a number of times doing games at night, and it's like none of them are stars, but God, they just press so hard. So that's going to be pressure on, yes, Morgan and Benoit and Myers or whoever's in. Benoit, do we know who's in for D tonight?
Well, I think it has to do with Ulrich Munlarsson, he's going to play or not tonight. But yesterday at practice, they were skating Riley Myers, McCabe, Tanev, Benoit, Timmins.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that if Ulrich Munlarsson's good to go, you probably just take out Myers and put him in with Riley again like they did the other night. So,
So those guys are going to be under heavy pressure. So curious to see if they go for flips or how they want to relieve that pressure. But
it's not, to your point, it's not like, you know, Jonathan Huberdeau actually leads the team in scoring.
Low scoring team.
Kadri's right behind them, but they're in their mid-30s of points, 37 and 36 respectively. It's not like anyone's lighting it up there.
No.
Blake Coleman's their third leading scorer with 12 goals.
Farabee and Frost were like necessary adds for a team that hopes to make playoffs. I mean, what's Huberdeau have, the top dude?
20 goals.
20 goals.
He's on pace for 31, 32.
And 35 points or something like that?
And he makes 10.5. million. Yeah.
Your boy Mitch is 70 points, you know, like double Huberdeau's points to try to get to some of the top guys on other teams. They are lacking top end talent, but every line works.
And the one thing you can say about them also is the fact that they get a lot of nice when their goalie looks like Joseph Hall.
Right. Yeah. It could be a lower scoring affair if both those guys are on their games.
No, I actually am really looking forward to this. I think it's a completely different animal than what you saw on Saturday night in terms of just like high octane skill, wave after wave. You're just going to get a grittier effort probably, just a completely different looking thing. So it'll be interesting to see how and, you know, sorry Stu Skinner, but they'll probably go against a better goalie tonight in Dustin Wolf, who's been one of the great stories in the NHL, mm-hmm. confirmed starter for tonight, and, you know, one of the favorites for the Calder. So really excited to watch him play too.
He's maybe one of the most fun goalies to watch in the league. You know, at his size, jumping around in that crease, he's awesome.
Yeah. So got a different kind of test for the Leafs tonight, and, you know, Flames are fighting for their playoff lives. They're going to get two teams here on this trip. They're playing against Calgary tonight, who is right on the bubble, and then you go in on Saturday night against a whole new team, basically, in Vancouver to go, and they're fighting for that same spot. So it's going to be a tough couple games. I'm just going to leave the Squids out of that, which is the one they'll probably lose. But anyways, it's just some tough tests coming up for them here.
Yeah.
The good news also for the Toronto Maple Leafs is John Tavares came back Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I think it was all but six games that he missed, which at the time of the injury during practice, it was hit or miss whether or not he was going to sneak any games in before the Four Nations break. Mm-hmm. Your assessment of John Saturday night, and we'll get Craig Berube's thoughts follow.
I'm going to be completely honest. I didn't notice him much.
Didn't
and that's not a
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't bad, but yeah. There was no moment where I was like, he's back, baby. And I was.
Yeah, I think it was his play off the wall that got the puck to Willie for his goal.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, I think it was actually, I mean, a good sign of maybe his focus or his dedication to get back early, mm-hmm. especially when the Leafs were coming off that 3-game losing streak.
Hey. The amulet has healing power.
You think?
I do.
Is that what it is?
I do.
Yours for what? The cost of what? How much?
Luckily, I wear this magical amulet.
$150
$250. Yeah.
$250.
Yeah.
Leafs score the Cup final, boys. I'm rocking amulet.
Oh,
every day.
Buddy.
Every
in
day.
On the amulet.
Is that Canadian or American?
If it was American, it'd be $1,000.
All right, let's get Greg Berube's thoughts on his former captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I thought he looked fine. I think. I probably used them a little bit too much than I wanted to down the stretch. Maybe got a little bit gassed, but he looked fine to me. I thought he had a good game for us, you know, for the most part.
So he ended up playing 1954 on Saturday.
Pretty good.
He was a plus one. He had an assist, like you said, and he made the play off the wall to Willie.
He had good puck touches.
23 shifts. A lot has been said about Tavares, and we have said a lot of it. And, you know, the contract and him going forward. But, you know, he has 43 points in 45 games so far this year, boys. He scored 20 goals already. He's
still doing what he's done his whole career.
He is still John Tavares. Like, he is, like, you go to his HockeyDB page,
yeah.
And this is the same season John Tavares has every year. He always gets to these numbers. And when he went out, like, you really felt it. You really, really felt not having that presence on the second line. Ability on the power play to put one home, like just the board work, all the stuff that you get from him. And I think it's a complicated relationship with Leaf fans in terms of going forward because, are we all sure that it's the best thing to let him go? No, but do we all want him back? I don't know either. Like,
it's
I really am kind of stuck in the middle on this Tavares.
Because we've talked a lot about this spike in the salary cap, and maybe no person is more adversely affected than the perception of Tavares. Like, had the cap last 5 years from the start of the pandemic, it was 81.5, 81.5, 81.5, 82.5, 83.5. So it went up $2 million in five years.
What a jump.
Yeah. Had it just gone up its few million a year, his number would have started to look better. Some people would have made more money. But, yeah, the perception has always been you have to produce, like, the top, top guys. And maybe that's hurt his reputation because you certainly will miss it.
But
it's gone.
On the flip side of that cap conversation, Borny, like if he does re-sign here for, I don't know, what's the numbers that have been thrown out there? I mean, 5, 6, 4, 7, whatever it is. Going next year, it's like, okay, that's already not that much. You go the next year, that's even less. You go the next year.
No, I disagree with you. Sorry to cut you off.
No, cut me off all day.
We don't know what's too little or too much. Until you find out what you need for Mitch Marner. Like, if you make a mistake signing Tavares today at, say, 6 or 7.
But I'm not talking about doing it today.
No.
He's the type of guy in the offseason.
But I'm just saying,
you can do it.
Like, but you can do it in the offseason after you know what's the heck's going on, at the top of your pyramid.
For sure.
Right?
No question.
So he is. You gotta make him wait, is my point.
And I think everyone agrees
so
with that. Him too, I'm sure.
If Mitch leaves, and now you think that you've got to go after Rantanen, if he's still out there, you don't know if the number's 12, 13, or 14.
Yeah, you don't want to be locked into Tavares.
So you cannot give Tavares an extra million or two if you need it at the back end to go and replace Mitch Marner.
Mm-hmm.
So John doesn't want to go anywhere. He came here from the Islanders. He took all those crap sandwiches from the fans.
Still takes them.
Snake.
Because he wanted to come here, try to win a Stanley Cup for his hometown, and retire a Maple Leaf. He will be there at the end. And I assure you, he'll take really whatever completely doesn't embarrass him to stay.
That's a good point.
Okay. So then if that's the case, I think I want him to stay around. if it's going to be a small number with the cap jumping and what you get from him in the production and his
Kip, but I've done this though, Sam. If you don't win, it doesn't work.
But even if you diminish
cheaply or not,
even if you diminish his role a little bit, like you still know what you're going to get. I don't know if it's going to cost a number that is low enough, but that doesn't embarrass him.
No.
I don't know.
Now you're talking Spezza on the fourth line.
No, I guess you're right.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
JB, well, the thing is though, like, after 15 years or 16 years, whatever he's in the league now, like, you're going to invent a new role for him with this new contract. And whether or not he's willing to embrace it, whether or not he'll even be good at it, we're not sure. Mm. But you cannot, if it doesn't end very well this year for the Leafs, you cannot tell him, we'd like you back and we'd like you to be the second line centerman and continue with your point of game pace because we've been so successful in the past.
Right. It is interesting.
It's useless. Even if you signed him as a second line centerman at 80 points, we have proven in 7 seasons, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It will be interesting. You know, you talk about the Rantanen thing. Like, if he doesn't re-sign with Carolina, he's up, right? Like, he'll decide this summer. Let's say things were to go extremely average in the playoffs. They lose in the second round and Marner's a point per game and plays pretty well. You know, I'd be curious to know if they would talk to Rantanen and be like, would you do this before they went back to Mitch? Like,
absolutely. You have to keep all of your options open. It's almost as if everybody had forgotten that, like, people were screaming at you to break up these four guys.
Right.
Willie, Marner, Matthews.
Just the worst thing that can happen is an unclear answer in playoffs. Do you know what I mean?
And the most,
where they play okay. Right.
And it
they
wasn't,
don't get that far, but they're okay.
And it wasn't because of the recent signings. It wasn't going to be Matthews. It wasn't going to be Nylander. You had to get rid of Marner or in the summer.
We talked to a lot of Tavares, too, but that never happened either.
No.
Well, we had thought for a while they might lean on JT and be like, hey, sorry.
But
like
they could have easily chose to treat Tavares like St. Louis just treated Brendan Saad, where we're going to figure it out, but it's not working anymore. So here's the choices.
But he's still good.
But that's why he's still here. Yeah, that's why they didn't do that.
Because they need him.
Yeah.
Like, he's still part of the plan here for this year at least. And then you see what happens next year.
Whatever the reason was, they just chose not to go down that path to change the feel or the look. But rest assured, you got to change a look. Maybe it's, hey, we love Mitch Marner and we love what you did for us this year. It's still not enough. The chemistry's not right. We're not getting rid of Matthews. We're not getting rid of Nylander. It's time for you to go. Let's go visit Rantanen now.
I can't see any free agent coming to Canada. It's really hard to see, you know? It's just the way things are going. I mean,
you're right. There's a lot of things going against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and $500,000 to $1 million worth of endorsements ain't getting it done.
Yeah. Can we call the Canadian Tire guy? Let's get him in the room.
It's not enough.
Hello, Dave.
But Dave Tire, yeah.
For the time being, I don't think John needs to worry about it unless he's worried about it.
Right.
But everything,
I guess it depends if you planned on owing the government $8 million in back taxes or not, or whatever the CRA was chasing him down.
No, we've gone full City News 680 on this show in the last couple of days. We're
worldly folk.
Wow, it's crazy. So, no, but, you know, I think you got to give some kudos to the season that John Tavares has had this year when a lot of people.
That's the right answer. A little love. No, you're right.
Myself included, did not see that. I think it was kind of written off, and they were talking about getting rid of him.
Everyone said the last year is going to be ugly.
I mean, they stripped off this guy, like, in, like, a weird ceremony where they're both on stage, and they're like,
ugh.
And he goes out there, and he's having another great year. So I did have
some people write me who were like, did you have to make him show up, be a part of that? But I think he probably wanted to show his coolness.
This doesn't bother me at all.
If you knew back then you're just going to get a point a game out of Tavares, would you ever have thought to sign him at $11 million 7 years ago?
If I had thought the cap was going to keep going up, probably, but not knowing that it just didn't at all.
Point a game guys aren't top five paid players in the league.
No, but when you get them for nothing, for no assets, there's a premium on that. And the Leafs were looking for the thing that was going to push them over the top.
I hate to admit how high on my excited about the Leafs rankings that Derek was just talking in my ear as I was talking there. Sorry. I hate to say how excited I was, how high it ranks of excitement of when they signed him. Like, in terms of all my Leafs moments of my life, that day, all the stuff coming out, that tweet, that was one of the most exciting days in Leafs history. And it's just nothing really has happened.
Yeah.
When you factor in the upside at the time for Matthews and Marner, I really thought that there was a possibility that John could go from this 80-point guy to a 120-point guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's crazy is if you look at his early Islanders days, he made his wingers so much better. Matt Molson did nothing. All of a sudden, Matt Molson. Okay, I shouldn't say nothing. He was a very good
Josh
player.
Bailey.
But he went through the roof, and Pierre Pronto and
Josh Bailey.
Pajot and Bailey, yeah. And all these guys had the best seasons with
him. Okay, but the 30 goal scorers, 35 goal scorers?
Yeah.
Not 50.
They weren't 30, 35 goal guys till they played with JT. He made guys better there. And it didn't carry over here necessarily. I don't know if that's where he was in his career. Or what, but
yeah.
You know, watching those Islanders teams, like whoever got to play with him.
But it wasn't Sid turning Kunitz into a Team Canada member.
No, John ain't Sid. Never has been.
Right?
We should go.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, we'll bring in Eric Francis, tee up the Toronto Maple Leafs, Calgary Flames. Big game tonight. More to come on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the studio. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Did you make dinner a lot at home?
No, but no? My wife, when she went away...
Yeah.
I went to Costco and I bought 3 ribeyes. That was the whole meal. Like Uncle Rico and Napoleon Dynamite. Like just that.
But you're just right back into the cave, eh?
Yeah. Like I might as well use my hands. I don't know. You do it upright, eh?
Well, yeah, I do. I like the kitchen.
You got the skills in the kitchen?
I do, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, not all bad. Right.
You're Greek.
All right. Sense. Let's bring in Eric Francis. We'll talk about his skills on another day. How are you, pal?
He's ashamed by me, I think.
Senior columnist.
Cook or handy, because I'm neither.
Are you the first person in the media buffet in line? Is that the type of guy you are for dinners?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And usually the third and fifth guy in line, unfortunately.
Without a doubt. How are you? Things are well out west, right? We're waiting for like Calgary to kind of fall off, and it's just not happening, Eric.
You know, it's minus 25 right now, so it's not perfect out here right now, but it's it's what an incredible season in terms of positive storylines. Like, boys, when we spoke 3-4 months ago, I'm not sure that we would have been thinking it was all going to be sunshine and lollipops here in Alberta. I think a lot of people thought there were going to be continued growing pains. And hey, they still may not make the playoffs. And if they fall just short, they will have also cost themselves a pretty good draft pick that people were expecting this year. But either way, tons of positive storylines right now. And, Dustin Wolf's probably at the top of that. I mean, I would like to think that around the league, there's a recognition that this guy's got to be the front runner for the Calder. And that's not to take anything away from Lane Hutson or Celebrini, but when you talk about the impact that a rookie is having on his team, you can't even compare him to Lane Hutson or Celebrini. Those guys have not had anywhere near the impact. Dustin Wolf is the reason the Calgary Flames are in a playoff spot right now, period, end of stop. That's got to get you some Calder love.
Yeah, I would say that puts him pretty near the top of the list. We're going to touch on a whole bunch of Flame stuff, but the first thing I want to know is how's it going with Frost and Farabee so far?
So far, so good. You know, Frost got a goal the other night, a pretty nice goal.
Shot.
Stepped in over the blue line. Yeah, we've seen some pretty soft hands from him, and that was kind of part of the bill of goods that we were sold on. You know, they're both hard workers. I think they'll both fit in terms of the work ethic required to be a Calgary Flame these days. I know they're versatile. That, you know, yeah, listen, I thought it was a great trade the moment it happened, like a pretty big windfall for a team that's been looking for a center for exactly 1 year since they traded Elias Lindholm. Is he Lindholm? No. But the package they brought back here right now in exchange for basically a second-round draft pick, to me, is pretty significant. And this GM, not only has he kind of been trying to find a center all year long, but he also recognized the need to reward these guys for an incredible, for a pretty incredible first half, you know, compared to what they were expected to do. So he conquered those two things. And the third thing is these guys are here for several years. They've got team control on Frost for at least another year and Farabee for three. So I think he hit it out of the park with this one.
So we're less than a week away from shutting the league down, but the moment it starts back up, it's a sprint 30 games here, and I'm sure Calgary Flame fans are all in now on a playoff race. And in your opinion, is it just a two-team race right now with the Vancouver Canucks? LA's still in the mix here on teetering. Like, how do you see this thing playing out in 30 short games?
Yeah. It sure looks that way, doesn't it? A two-horse race. You know, yeah, I know LA's right there. Actually, Colorado's not too far ahead either. But, you know, and if you're a Calgary hockey fan right now, you're pretty excited about the circus that's happening on the other side of the mountains here. That's really been hurting that franchise, obviously, in Vancouver. You know, time will tell here pretty quickly if they traded the right guy or if they still need to make more moves. The Quinn Hughes injury, it looks like he's not going to play tonight. That's significant. A lot of reason to believe that the Flames are the team with the momentum out of the two. St. Louis, you know, the only reason they're even close is because Calgary got swept by them on a recent trip to St. Louis that brought them right back in the mix, but they've since fallen back. So, yeah, two-horse race, two biggest rivals. They hate each other probably the most of any team in the league. So it sets up for a delicious little 30-day sprint here.
Eric, no one's ever going to say that, like, the Flames won the Matthew Tkachuk trade, I don't think. But things are not as bad as maybe it was originally painted. Uyghur's been a hell of a player for them, and Huberto's having a good season.
Yeah, you know, Uyghur, you know, I guess I could throw my two cents in. I think he should get the spot ahead of Doughty because there's still too many questions about Doughty. I know he's played three games. He's played a ton of minutes, but you know, you're taking a bit of a chance by putting Doughty in against the world's best players after having all that time off. Uyghur can do anything for you. He can play either side, can play power play, block shots. He hits guys. Like, he's your Swiss Army knife for Team Canada if you need him as your seventh guy. So there's the end of that little pitch. But Huberto, to me, is such an impressive transformation. You know, he had an offseason chat with Ryan Huska and basically said, like, how can I be more effective? Like, help me. For 2 years, I've been swimming. I don't know what to do better. And they worked out that he would be more of a defensive-minded player. They started using him on the penalty kill, and they were trying to teach him the defensive side of the game. Look, the Flames win games 2-1, 3-2. So if you're going to be an important part of this team, you got to play a 200-foot game. And that's what he's become right now. He turned himself into a 200-foot player, and he's on pace for his best season ever for goals, which is absolutely amazing considering where he's come from. He's on pace for 31, and almost all those goals are greasy right outside the paint.
Yeah.
So he's kind of transformed his game and become a bit of a different player. I got to give him a ton of credit for doing it at that age with that many eyes on him.
So when you factor in that he could have the most goals he's ever had, it's still going to be a far cry from the 115 points he had in Florida.
Yeah.
And he still makes $10.5 million till probably 20 and 30. Is the cap going up the best friend he could have, because now people can start getting off that, you know, we can't win with a guy making $10.5 million and scoring 55 points a year?
Yeah, well, that the cap going up, sure. Also, the fact the Calgary Flames have almost $20 million in cap space right now. So he could be making $20 million. And, like, right. What's the difference? Right. You know, like, it really doesn't matter anymore. So that pressure is kind of off as well. And then, you know, as you talk about the rising tide floats all boats, like, if Rasmus Anderson, I'm sure you're going to ask me about him in a bit here, too, because he's a big topic here. But if Rasmus Anderson is able to be re-signed and stay in Calgary and buck this trend of all these veterans leaving, like, what does a number one defenseman cost you in the NHL now as a UFA? Like, is he a $12 million player? He's definitely more than $10.5 million on the open market in 2 years' time. So, and I'm not saying that he's worth it, but as the cap goes up, that's going to be the price for a guy, you know, of his, you know, standing. So, and that will help dwarf the $10.5 million number. So, yeah, a lot of reasons why people aren't talking as much anymore about that being an albatross.
So how do you feel about the Flames' decision to hang on to Kadri, hang on to, you know, everyone at this point? Is that long-term for the franchise the right decision?
I think it is, and I'll tell you why. Because Kadri, and I wasn't sure that I'd ever say this, but I wholeheartedly believe, you know, he had a choice. You know, when they jettisoned all those guys last year or they left, he had a choice. Like, I didn't sign up for this. I came here to help try and put this team over the top, and now I'm in the midst of a bit of a rebuild. And I didn't think he'd want to stay. I think the hockey world didn't think he'd want to stay. But you know what? He's taken this on as a challenge. And for one of the first times in his career, he's considered the man here, right? Mm-hmm. Like in every other city, he was, oh, he's a good second-line center, but he can't be a top center. I think he's really taken that and said, screw you, hockey world. I can show you I can be a top center. He's been their most consistent forward all year long this year. He plays with a ton of heart and soul. And when this team talks about culture, and you know, if you tank, you lose that culture, you lose that winning culture and all that, you got to rebuild it. This leadership group, and he's right there with the, you know, the captain, Michael Backlund, Jonathan Huberdeau, Uyghur, Anderson. These guys have set a standard here. They say, you follow us and you live up to our standard or else you're not going to play here. And he's one of the guys leading by example. So I think he's an integral part of this team this year and moving forward, and I give him a ton of credit for that because I don't think many people thought he had it in him. You guys saw him in Toronto. Attitude was a bit of an issue sometimes. Not now.
You're watching and listening to Eric Francis, senior columnist, analyst with Sportsnet out of Calgary. So in saying that, Craig Conroy and his management team probably had a vision, long-term vision, on when this team could compete again for a Stanley Cup. To Justin's point and to yours just most recently made, has this season crossed a threshold for you where you can say that the painful years of rebuild can now be avoided and we can compete for a Stanley Cup maybe quicker than we thought?
I think that's fair. I mean, we could sit here and debate whether a smaller market team in a cold climate in the middle of the West can ever really compete for a Stanley Cup. Like, that's a different debate. But, you know, all things being equal right now, I definitely think that the most painful part is kind of behind them. Hey, they may have some missteps next year and fall back. But I think they're doing a good job proving that you can do like the Dallas Stars and not go all the way to the bottom. And if you can just hit with some of your lottery tickets, you know, your draft picks, and get lucky with a few players development-wise, I think you can turn it around a whole lot quicker than everybody seems to think is the only way to do it, which is the way Chicago did it and go to the bottom and then come right back up to the top. The way Toronto kind of did it, go down to the bottom and get Matthews, you know, Edmonton. For every team like that that's won a cup, the Flames ownership group will point to you to three or four franchises like Detroit, Buffalo, Edmonton for 15, 20 years that have just been stuck in the middle of the woods with no winning culture and no turnaround. Well, the Oilers have finally done it, but look where Buffalo is. Look where Detroit still is. Look, you know, so my point is, I think that they're moving in the right direction and they're proving to people that their plan of doing what I call a high build, a hybrid rebuild, is something that is viable.
Who do you credit with the culture of hard work there? Like, they got so many guys who are just dogs on a bone and just like watching their games, not a ton of like top end scoring, but man, every line just goes.
Yeah. I think it's that leadership group I talk about. There's six guys.
More than Huska?
Well, here's the thing. Huska credits the leadership group. The leadership group credits Huska. And that is to point out that it's a blend, right? It's the respect that the coach has garnered by listening to these guys, and they respect him. He respects them. It's a real nice relationship. And there's a standard that's been set in this city. And with so many young, impressionable guys getting called up constantly from the AHL over the last year and a half, it's so important that they come in and see that and see, wow, if you're going to play in the big leagues and you're going to play for this team, there's only one way to play, and that's balls to the wall. So I think it's both. The coach and the leadership group have created this great culture that has been around for a while. It's a very tight-knit dressing room, more so than most teams in the league, I would dare say.
All right, looking forward to the hockey game tonight. Half the building, Leaf fans, are like kind of standard, eh, right across the West?
We've seen that for 100 years here, and that won't change. You know what I am happy about? Only one anthem tonight, so we don't have to get into the garbage of booing the anthem.
That's fine. We booed it to open our show.
Hey, hold on for a second. That booing got us 30 more days.
That's right. We are not right? happy. I don't know if that did it.
I thought it was our leader who got it. I'm not getting political. No way, boys.
No way.
Smart.
Not on this show. Eric, great job, buddy. Thanks for coming on. Enjoy the hockey game tonight.
Cheers, boys. Always great to talk to you.
Eric Francis, senior columnist, sportsnet.ca, does a great job covering the Calgary Flames.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sounds like he's pretty in on the direction they've taken. You know, you worry about them becoming the Minnesota Wild.
You can't be in there all season long, maybe make the playoffs, mm-hmm. or maybe just fall short, and then next year kind of drop off again, right? That's what you kind of worry about, because to his point, now all of a sudden everybody's in play again. Kadri's in play for them. Not a guy that you got to go, he's going to miss the next wave of contention for us. Like, he could be in it now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The thing that stands out to me is if you look at the cap pages, only two teams in the NHL have a lower payroll this year than the Flames. Are they then going to spend this offseason? Do they want to get in on some new names and add that way? Because you can't be like, yeah, we're on our way up, but we don't want to pay to be a contender. Only Anaheim and Columbus have
Rantanen,
lower caps.
Would they ever considering going that big?
If I'm the Flames, for sure.
I don't think Mikko is going to say yes, probably.
Yeah.
I say that because we're not on in Calgary yet, but right. I don't necessarily, like he said himself with the, you know, it's a small town in small city in Alberta, like minus 25 there today. If Mikko could be like, hey, you want to sign with the Tampa Bay Lightning or go somewhere like, you know, warm? Probably ideal.
I saw someone saying, like, do you think Kawhi regrets not signing again in Toronto? And then they played here the other day and they walked in. It was minus 20.
Yeah, he's like, what a great choice by
so
me.
So glad I went to the Clippers.
I'm fine.
He's like, I won a championship. I've won two championships. I'm the richest guy ever. Yeah. I live at home in the warmth.
Wine and dine was a nice effort, but I can afford the $80 sandwiches. In L.A., I'll be okay. Yeah.
I don't know. It should be an interesting one tonight. But maybe another Leafs player heads to Alberta and it's not to the to Edmonton, to Calgary. Maybe Mitch signs there in the offseason.
I don't see that, but if Mitch
where
is
would
leaving
he go?
Toronto...
Where would he go?
If Mitch is leaving Toronto, he's leaving Canada.
Where would he go, you think? Chicago?
Cooper loves him.
Oh, my God.
Wait till Cooper gets him in with Team Canada.
Oh, my God.
Sammy? I
love that idea.
Listen.
Don't you do
Did
that.
Did I just make you cringe right now?
Yeah, no.
I love that idea. That would be so good for our show.
It would be really bad for our show.
For a couple days, and then we'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
All right, still plenty of time left to debate that one until July 1st.
There's no debate.
There's no debate. It just sucks. All right. Our thanks to Eric Francis for coming on and teeing up Toronto Maple Leafs, Calgary Flames. Next hour, we go national. Steve Valiquette back for his Tuesday segment. Yeah. Plenty to get into, including JT Miller's return to New York. Allmark ready to start for the Ottawa Senators?
So.
Plenty more when we return.